Well, we are starting a brand new series in the book of Thessalonians. So this is New Testament. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to do chapter by chapter. Probably won't do verse by verse, but we are going to highlight some of them. And you're going to say, well, why did you choose 1 Thessalonians? First of all, how do I go about choosing series? I pray. I pray and ask God, like, where do you want us to go? Sometimes we do topical, like we did People of the Bible. We did the Journey to Freedom, which was tracking people through the from slavery to freedom and applying that to our life. And we've done books of the Bible, and we're going to be back in the books of the Bible. Thessalonians has a lot to say about Jesus' return. I think that's probably initially what caught my attention. But there's very practical things in here. And I want to encourage you. Sometimes we look at a text like 1 Thessalonians, and Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. This is actually gives Paul a lot of credibility. He was a persecutor of Christians. He actually was a very religious guy, and he basically said, you know, these Jesus followers people, these followers of the way, we need to squash them because they're disrupting the religious order. And I like that Jesus got a hold of his heart. He had an encounter with the Spirit of Jesus on the road to Damascus and radically changed his life. And then he became a missionary. And this was on his second missionary journey. He wrote this letter to the budding little church that had started in Thessalonica. And actually, Thessalonica is still a city today. It's the second largest city. Thessaloniki is what they call it today. It's in the northern part of Greece, has over 1 million people. It's amazing that after like some 2,000 years, that city still exists. And here he is, Paul, writing to this emerging little baby church from his first little missionary journey that he shared Jesus with them, and God was changing their life. God was changing their community. God was changing their family. And so when we read this scripture, we have to say, well, this is not just like some ancient text that we're just doing like some history lesson of an ancient text. We're saying, wait a second, if this is inspired by God, used by a person who's been radically changed by God, we can apply this to our life and the Spirit of God who's alive and well today in this room. And those who have given your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. He's now going to talk with you and speak with you. I love when people say, hey, Mark, that message really spoke to me. And by the way, if you say that, I'm going to ask you this question. Because I just want to make sure that you're just not like, trying to like make me feel good about myself, right? I'm going to ask you, so what did you get from it? And I love that question because, one, I want to know if you're legitimately, you know, you got something out of it or you just wanted to make me feel good. But in that sense, though, what I'm asking is, what stirred you? And I love the fact that some of you will say things that I didn't even preach, but you thought you heard. And what that means is your ears are attuned to the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God is here. And he's speaking to each one of you if you allow him. If you allow yourself to have spiritual ears. And I say spiritual ears, it's really just saying allow your spirit to be open to what God is wanting to say to you. See, God wants to be present, and he's present by his Holy Spirit. So let's dig in to 1 Thessalonians. So it's written about 52, 55 BC, so about 20 years after Jesus was on earth, after his crucifixion, resurrection, this letter was written to this little small church in this small little seaport town. And this is, if you look at the Mediterranean Sea, and there's a little cove up there in the northern part of it, and that's where this little town, a seaport town, is. So this is what it says. I'm going to start in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God, the Father, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause there. You know, I was thinking about this scripture, and in many ways, I kind of feel like I could write this. I give thanks to God for all of you. I give thanks to God for all of you because I'm mentioning you not only in my prayers, but I mention you often because I'm seeing the good works that you guys are doing. I'm seeing the faith that you are having. By the way, the work of faith and labor of love, can I just talk about the work of faith? So I'm starting to plant my garden. So I have an early garden, so that's all my cold weather stuff. So my carrots, my lettuce, my beets, I've planted those already. I started my tomatoes on the inside, and they've already, they're 2 inches tall. I love this stuff. So much fun. But in many ways, that planting is like a work of faith. I'm working, planting seeds with an anticipation that I'm going to get a harvest. And the work of faith that you are doing and that Paul is talking about, the church in Thessalonica, is that you are planting seeds of hope for people wherever you go. In your workplace, in your family, that you are remembering, not only remembering what Jesus did way back, but you're saying, God is real, he's done something in my life, and you're planting seeds of hope for people, and your work of faith is, you can't see it immediately. You don't know right away what it is that is gonna be a harvest of that. But you're faithful to realize that your job is to plant and God's job is to grow. So your work of faith and labor of love, you know, this idea of labor of love, we have an expression here in our culture that says, you know, you do something that's maybe hard in somebody's opinion, you say, don't worry, it's just a labor of love. Like, you love it so much. But I don't think this is like a labor of love. I think it's we labor because we love. We labor because we love. And I think when we realize that I was a sinner, I was separated from God, I was living with depression, anxiety, I was living with just not feeling great about myself because of all the junk in my life, and God found me, and he saved me, and he put me on this path, and I can feel his love and acceptance in my life. And then because of this love that I now have from God, I want to express this love to other people, and so I labor because of love, because of the love that I have, that God is love, and then he asks us to love. And steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that the other part of this steadfastness, and I think if I were to brag on you, I'm just saying, can I just tell you about these people at Grace Capital Church? Not only do they labor in love, not only do they have the work of faith, but they're steadfast. I see this steadiness about you, that you begin to hold true in the middle of tumultuous times. That I know some of you guys are going through difficult things in your families and difficult things in your relationships, but you hold true and you keep your attention on Jesus. That you realize that Jesus is your rock. Jesus is the rudder of the boat of your life. And you're realizing that it might get a little rocky, but guess what? I'm going to be steadfast in my relationship with Jesus, my hope of Jesus Christ. Carry on, verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And isn't that great to know that God chooses you? He loves you. He chooses you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, just want to let you know that he's pursuing you. There's a reason that you're here. If you're watching online, there's a reason that you're watching online. Somehow you found this. And you're beginning to be inquisitive, but you don't realize why you're being inquisitive. And maybe you know somebody that's given you hope and saying, like, I see something in their life. But know this, that God chooses you and he loves you. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. See, I'm sharing with you today the gospel, the good news of Jesus in word, but it shouldn't only come in word. And I want to give this encouragement to you. If there's an area of growth that I would say that we can continue to grow in, is this idea that realizing that we, not only should our life reflect the goodness of who God is in our life, right? We should be filled with his spirit, which is the fruit of his spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Did I miss one? Okay, we're good. So So when we get there, right, we not only should have the fruit of that, but then here's the thing. We should have power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. There's something that happens when we say, Holy Spirit, here I am. By the way, I would say I've been kind of feeling like this a little bit lately. We do offer a class called Doing What Jesus Did, but I don't know if we've done a good enough job teaching on the Holy Spirit. And so I kind of been feeling this stirring that we need to do a little bit more teaching on this. But you know that what you feel, right? The Holy Spirit, as a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. But the scripture tells us the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells inside of you. Which, what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit can do supernatural works through you. It means the Holy Spirit can you can see miracles happening through you. It's not your work. It means healing can happen through you. Again, not your work, it's the Holy Spirit. It means that you can have a word of knowledge and you can have prophecy and you can have words of wisdom. And this is the power, I believe, that he's saying, not only God loved you so much that you shared your faith with others, but that came with power, with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to begin to say, wait a second, not only should my life be modeled in a certain way, that I carry peace and joy and love, but be willing to allow the Spirit of God to use you in some of these areas. And we can read, like you said, some things that maybe I'm not familiar with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it begins to list these things: words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And I want you to begin to say, I'm open to allow the Spirit of God to use me in those ways. Now, you don't have to, you know, thus saith the Lord type of thing. You just can kind of like, all of a sudden I'm getting this insight into something that I shouldn't have this insight. And you realize, you pause and you say, God, are you wanting to say something through me? Are you wanting to do something through me? And I believe this is what Paul is acknowledging for the early church in Thessalonica was this idea that the people were willing to be used by the Holy Spirit in this way. It goes on to say, you know that kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us, of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. Paul is saying, you guys, you actually imitated us. We came, we're on a missionary journey, and we shared Jesus with you. We came in power. We taught you the ways of the Holy Spirit. And then you became an imitator of us. My question for you is, would you be okay as a follower of Jesus to go to somebody and say, I want you to imitate me. I want you to imitate me. Because I'm imitating Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Imitate me. Or would you just like, don't look at what I do, just maybe go to the Bible and do what Jesus does. Just think about that for a moment. How are you doing in that category? Because Paul is realizing that sometimes the only Jesus that people will see is you and me. It's kind of sobering to think about. That people first encounter Jesus. Now, they'll be introduced to Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, when they receive him. But they first need to see Jesus sometimes through people like you and I. And Paul himself says, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And here they were saying, hey, by the way, you're doing a great job, church, Thessalonica, small little starting Christian community. You're doing a great job. You've imitated us. Keep up the good work. And I want us to think about that for a little bit, to say, are we comfortable telling somebody, the people around us, imitate me as I'm imitating Christ? And if not, then just ask the Lord, say, what do I need to do to be more like Jesus? What do I need to do to model my life a little bit better And this, trust the Spirit of God. He'll speak to you. He will bring conviction to you in those right ways. And by the way, there's no, can I just tell you what? If conviction feels like condemnation, you have to ask who is it, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't condemn you. Conviction's a good thing, by the way. Sounds bad, it's not. Because we kind of put this like conviction like you're convicted of a crime. No, conviction means I've been corrected to potentially live my life in a different direction or go a different direction, right? The conviction's a good thing. We all need to be convicted. All right. The interesting thing also, that they received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that as our society continues to be anti-Christian or anti-Christ, that we're going to maybe, I'm not saying this is prophetically, but I could see it starting to unravel in our society. I believe that the world is going to become more hostile to Christians. And can we still be people of joy in the middle of affliction? That the affliction doesn't take you out, but the affliction is like, here we go. This is part of the journey. And you can have joy in the midst of it. Now, the other part about this joy is it's not just the affliction external, but sometimes it's the affliction internal. Life can get hard. I'm not suggesting that we just kind of like pretend all the time, but I think there's something about the Spirit of God that helps us rise above our circumstance to realize that God's in control. We sang about it today, that God will make all things work together for good, that we just know that God is going to get this. He's going to get us, and he's going to get me in the middle of this situation. He's going to help. He's going to help me rise above. And so our joy and our steadfastness in joy through the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's why happiness and joy is not the same thing. Happiness, you can find it in the world and you can find it in pleasure, but that's temporal. Joy rooted in Christ through the Holy Spirit is substantive, and it can endure. And it can endure. Verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. I love that. It goes on. I don't need to give you a little bit of discourse on that, but I think it's so cool that he's mentioning that your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. I heard this a little bit of at our membership meeting. We asked the question at our membership meeting, like, what was it that had you come back? What was it that made you come back? We heard community, sense of family, feeling God's presence, sense of belonging. We heard preaching the word of God. We heard that we're friendly, that we feel God's presence. But we also hear stories of a friend invited me. I saw something different in my friend's life. And I think this is what our faith, when it goes, is a genuine. And this is what, our world doesn't need more religion. Can I be clear? Our world does not need more religion. Actually, Jesus didn't like religion a whole lot. He had trouble with the Pharisees because they were about oppressing people or making sure that the religious guys were prominent and known in their communities. And no, Jesus wanted transformation. He wanted to connect people with the Father in heaven who loved them. And that kind of like spreads and has influence. And we don't need more religion to tell people how to live their life. We need more relationships. Say, this is God who wants to change your life. God who loves you so much, he wants to redeem the broken places. God who loves you so much, who wants to heal the broken heart that you have. God who loves you so much, wants to set your feet on a path that is straight and sure. But faith in God has gone forth everywhere. And I commend you, this church, Grace Capital Church, you are sharing your faith, you're living your faith out loud, and it's going before you. It's incredible. So we don't need to say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we among you, and how you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. How you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. The turning from idols, idolatry could be anything that you place above your relationship with God is idolatry. Anything. It could be food, it could be media, it could be your work, anything that consumes your life that takes precedent over your relationship with God is idols. But the interesting thing is they turn from idols to pursue the living God. Now, there they were saying they turn from these fake things, these things that promise them life, but never has the ability to give them life. And this is what our society does. The advertisers promise you to feel this way. It will be, if you buy this product, you will feel this way and you will have happiness and you'll have this great life. But it never has the ability to actually deliver on what it promises. And yet here he's saying, well, you turn from idols, you turn from the things that were fake and turn to the living God that will actually is the genuine. And this is what we're talking about. Our world today does not need more fake. Our world today needs genuine followers of Jesus who can deliver the real goods, who can deliver the real substance, who can say, this is who Jesus is and this is who our Father is. And follow me as I follow Jesus. Life is not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I know the perfect one, and I'm trying to follow him because he's the one who gives me hope, and then he's the one who gives me peace. He's the one who gives me assurance. And then verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who deliver us from the wrath to come. There is a wrath to come, church. We don't know when this is, but the wrath to come is for everybody who doesn't know Jesus, by the way. If people die who don't know Jesus, there's a wrath. It's called hell. There's also a day that I believe that God's wrath, which I don't fully, I want to be honest with you, I don't fully grasp God's wrath. I know God's love. I don't know that side of him, though, which is the wrath side, but I know there's something about it. I mean, part of me feels like his love is so pure that when it cuts into the darkness, it feels like wrath. I try to put language and words to it, but I'll be honest with you, I can't fully comprehend that. But I do know that there will be a wrath that comes, and only with Jesus are we protected from that wrath. That I do know. That I am confident. That is the assurance that we have, that our focus is not on religion, our focus is on our relationship with Jesus. And I believe this church in Thessalonica began to live it out in a genuine way, that in a culture that was a mixed culture, there was Jews, there was Gentiles in that city, why the church was successful and became established. Because they not only shared the good news of Jesus, they didn't want people to become religious. They realized that the power of the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit was alive and well and working through that community. And so for me, I get to brag on you, and I realize that God is working. An area, though, that we can expand and grow in. Oh, by the way, I shared with you the three words. If you don't get an email from me on Sunday mornings, I write an email every Sunday morning to give you a little highlight of what's going on. Just subscribe to our newsletter. That puts you on a mailing list, if you will, that will allow me to talk to you and communicate with you. The three words that I said, this. Here's, I'm going to sum up the whole thing. Action. Can you guys just say action?
Action.
Number two, say influence. Number three, perseverance. You know, your actions speak louder than words. And are you people full of love, full of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you? Let your actions speak. Don't let religion speak. Let your actions speak the love of God through your life. Action, influence. Your life has the ability to touch a bunch of people. And people are looking for genuine people who are saying, I don't have it all together, but I do know Jesus loves you. God loves you. That we become a people who say, follow me as I follow Christ. That influence is so powerful. So actions speak louder than words. Influence, let your life be influential, bringing people to Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And then perseverance, let deep joy, despite hardship, let deep contentment in a world that is uncontent. That we persevere through this. I think there's going to be something that is inspiring to the culture around us when we can persevere through trials and hardship, because that's genuine to show that we just can't make this stuff up, that God is real, that our relationship with Jesus is true, and the Holy Spirit can help us persevere. In closing, there is a song from Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes. A song called My Way. You might know it. I'm not going to sing it. I listened to it last night because it came to my mind. But there's a line that keeps going, I did it my way. All these things in it, like I did it my way. Nice. Okay, yeah, that's it. Don't let me die. All right. But I have a problem with that song. Because I think when we do it our way, it leaves us empty, broken, and desperate. Oh, man. I think it's better. Sorry, Frank Sinatra, but I think you should have said, I did it his way. Yeah. When we learn to do it Jesus' way, then we realize that that's where genuine life happens. It's the genuine that this world is looking for. Can we do it Jesus' way? Proud of you, church. You're doing it. Keep up the good work. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you've called us to join you in this mission. We thank you for all those new members that said yes to this mission that we're on together. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would learn to do it your way, not my way. That our lives would be one of action, that our lives would be one of influence and one of perseverance. Lord, I just pray that as we connect in community, as we go to the gym after this service to say, I want to grow. I need to grow in community. That we're going to find those places, that we're going to connect with other believers. That we're going to become more like you, Jesus. And then we would say, follow me as I follow Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.